This is side six of Through the Year with Pope Francis, Daily Reflections. Continuing on page 164, your reader for this side is Jerry Hill. Daily Reflections for the month of June, starting with June 1st, titled Close to Each One of Us. Dear brothers and sisters, the Ascension does not point to Jesus' absence, but tells us that he is alive in our midst in a new way. He is no longer in a specific place in the world, as he was before the Ascension. He is now in the Lordship of God, present in every space and time, close to each one of us. In our life, we are never alone. We have this Advocate who awaits us. From a general audience on April 17, 2013. Reflection. What are some ways to remind yourself that Jesus is in your midst every day? How can the reminder of his presence change your attitude, your decisions, and your actions? June 2nd. Titled, Sacred Heart of Jesus. The month of June is traditionally dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the greatest human expression of divine love. In fact, last Friday, we celebrated the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and this feast sets the tone for the entire month. Popular piety highly values symbols, and the heart of Jesus is the ultimate symbol of God's mercy. But it is not an imaginary symbol. It is a real symbol which represents the center, the source from which salvation flowed for all of humanity. From the Angelus Address, June 9, 2013. A reflection. Meditate on the meaning of Jesus' Sacred Heart, a heart full of love and mercy. Ask God to transform your heart into his. June 3rd. Titled, Seek a Lawyer. When someone is summoned by the judge or is involved in legal proceedings, the first thing he does is to seek a lawyer to defend him. We have one who always defends us, who defends us from the snares of the devil, who defends us from ourselves and from our sins. From a general audience on April 17, 2013. A reflection. God is always there when you fall. Ask him for help and encounter him in the sacrament of penance. June 4th. Titled, Don't Fall Ill. At this time of crisis, we cannot be concerned solely with ourselves, withdrawing into loneliness, discouragement, and a sense of powerlessness in the face of problems. Please do not withdraw into yourselves. This is a danger. We shut ourselves up in the parish with our friends, within the movement, with the like-minded. But do you know what happens? When the church becomes closed, she becomes an ailing church. She falls ill. The church must step outside herself. To go where? To the outskirts of existence, whatever they may be, but she must step out. From an address at the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18, 2013. A reflection. How can you help our church step outside herself? What does that mean in your everyday life? If you decide to move out of your comfort zone, can you approach others on the outskirts of existence without judging them? June 5th, titled, A Little Mercy. A little mercy makes the world less cold and more just. We need to understand properly this mercy of God, this merciful Father who is so patient. From the Angelus Address, March 17th, 2013. A reflection. Reflect on how patient God has been with you. With whom do you need to be patient? June 6th. A scandal is news. There is another important point, encountering the poor. If we step outside ourselves, we find poverty. Today, it sickens the heart to say so. The discovery of a tramp who has died of the cold is not news. Today, what counts as news is maybe a scandal. A scandal. Ah, that is news. Today, the thought that a great many children do not have food to eat is not news. This is serious. This is serious. We cannot put up with this. Yet, that is how things are. From an address at the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18, 2013. A reflection. Where does responding to the needs of the poor fall in your priorities? How can you prioritize what really matters? Ask God to help you overcome any fears you have about serving the needy. June 7th. Titled, Don't Be a Pharisee. He comes for us when we recognize that we are sinners. But if we are like the Pharisee before the altar who said, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like other men, and especially not like the one at the door, like that publican, then we do not know the Lord's heart, and we will never have the joy of experiencing this mercy. From a homily, March 17, 2013. A reflection. Let us not forget God's greatest gift, His mercy. Ask God to help you develop a deeper gratitude for His mercy and a reduction in your pride. June 8th, titled, Walls. Let us ask ourselves today, are we open to God's surprises, or are we closed and fearful before the newness of the Holy Spirit? Do we have the courage to strike out along the new paths which God's newness sets before us? Or do we resist, barricaded in transient structures which have lost their capacity for openness to what is new? We would do well to ask ourselves these questions all through the day. From a homily at the Mass with the Ecclesial Movements on Pentecost Sunday, May 19, 2013. Reflection. Before Pentecost, the apostles locked themselves in the upper room. But when they received the Holy Spirit, they were compelled to go and spread the gospel. What barriers keep you from hearing the Holy Spirit and sharing the good news? June 9th, titled, Sails. The older theologians used to say that the soul is a kind of a sailboat. The Holy Spirit is the wind which fills its sails and drives it forward, and the gusts of wind are the gifts of the Spirit. Lacking His impulse and His grace, we do not go forward. From a homily with Mass with the Ecclesial Movements on Pentecost Sunday, May 19, 2013. A reflection. Are your sails open? Which direction is your boat headed? Take some time to reorient your life and ask God for the grace to get you where He wants you to go. June 10th. Titled, Be Missionaries of God's Mercy. Each individual Christian and every community is missionary to the extent that they live the gospel and testify to God's love for all, especially those experiencing difficulties. Be missionaries of God's love and tenderness. Be missionaries of God's mercy which always forgives us, always awaits us, and loves us dearly. From a homily on May 5th, 2013. A reflection. Are you called to be a missionary to certain people in your everyday life? How can you love them so that they experience the gospel as good news meant for them? June 11th, titled Difficulties. It takes courage to begin following Jesus Christ, and this courage comes from God. When you're being abused and insulted, you need endurance in order to stand all the difficulties of everyday life, all the difficulties of preaching the gospel. You need apostolic stamina to endure all the difficulties inflicted by those whom Paul himself describes as enemies of the cross of Christ, those people who like to be flattered and who like to be told what they like to hear, those people who want to be told what they want the gospel to say and not what the gospel says. For this reason, Paul says, we never used words of flattery. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. From Only Love Can Save Us, a homily on August 4th, 2006. A reflection. Have you heard the saying, don't tell God how big your storm is, tell the storm how big your God is. The Lord, who is bigger than anything you face, will give you the courage and endurance to deal with your challenges and to preach the gospel. Ask Him for help now and throughout the day. June 12th, titled Encounter. In this stepping out, it is important to be ready for encounter. For me, this word is very important. Encounter with others. Why? Because faith is an encounter with Jesus, and we must do what Jesus does, encounter others. We must create a culture of encounter, a culture of friendship, a culture in which we find brothers and sisters, in which we can also speak with those who think differently, as well as those who hold other beliefs, who do not have the same faith. From an address on the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18, 2013. Reflection. How can you slow down to really encounter others and to learn more about their lives, their families, their activities, and their struggles? Find two times this week to truly encounter others. June 13th, titled Attractive and Persuasive. Christian truth is attractive and persuasive because it responds to the profound need of human life, proclaiming convincingly that Christ is the one Savior of the whole man and of all men. This proclamation remains as valid today as it was at the origin of Christianity. From an address on March 15, 2013. A reflection. Are you convinced of the need that humans have for Jesus Christ? Don't underestimate how much people need Christ in their lives. We were all made for Him. June 14th. Not a God spray. Let us recognize that God is not something vague. Our God is not a God spray. He is tangible. He is not abstract, but has a name. God is love. His is not a sentimental, emotional kind of love, but the love of the Father, who is the origin of all life. The love of the Son, who dies on the cross and is raised. The love of the Spirit, who renews human beings and the world. From the Angelus Address, May 26, 2013. A reflection. Do you want God to be more real to you? Meet Him in the Eucharist, where he is present to you, and meditate on the cross, where he shows a definitive sign of love for you. June 15th, titled, Walking with Us. The Most Holy Trinity is not the product of human reasoning, but the face with which God actually revealed himself, not from the heights of a throne, but walking with humanity. It is Jesus himself who revealed the Father to us and who promised us the Holy Spirit. God walked with his people in the history of the people of Israel, and Jesus has always walked with us and promised us the Holy Spirit, who is fire, who teaches us everything we do not know, and from within us guides us, gives us good ideas and good inspirations. From the Angelus Address, May 26, 2013. A reflection. Our earthly fathers often walked with us through life. Our heavenly Father continues to walk with us here on earth. Take time to have a conversation with your heavenly Father. Ask him to guide and inspire you. June 16th, titled Soap Bubbles. The culture of comfort, which makes us think only of ourselves, makes us insensitive to the cries of other people, makes us live in soap bubbles, which, however lovely, are insubstantial. They offer a fleeting and empty illusion, which results in indifference to others. Indeed, it even leads to the globalization of indifference. In this globalized world, we have fallen into globalized indifference. From a homily on July 8, 2013. Reflection. What are some practical and specific ways you can be more sensitive to the needs of others around you? Make the decision now to begin to practice this new sensitivity, no matter what it cost to your own comfort. June 17th, titled Left or Right. Lastly, a word about the passage on the Last Judgment, in which the Lord's second coming is described, when he will judge all human beings, the living and the dead. The image used by the evangelist is that of the shepherd, who separates the sheep from the goats. On his right, he places those who have acted in accordance with God's will, who went to the aid of their hungry, thirsty, foreign, naked, sick, or imprisoned neighbor. While on his left are those who did not help their neighbor. This tells us that God will judge us on our love, on how we have loved our brethren, especially the weakest and the neediest. From a general audience on April 24, 2013. A reflection. Imagine standing before God's throne at the end of your life. Would you be on his right or left side? Trust in God's mercy and grace to live a life dedicated to loving him and others. June 18th, titled, Mortify Our Selfishness. This is a lesson for each one of us, but also for the church of our time. If we let ourselves be led by the Holy Spirit, if we are able to mortify our selfishness to make room for the Lord's love and for his will, we will find peace. We will be builders of peace and will spread peace around us. From an address on June 3, 2013. A reflection. How can you mortify your selfishness? Pick something to give up or do toward that goal this week. June 19th, titled, Remote Controls. Jesus does not want selfish Christians who follow their own ego, who do not talk to God, nor does he want weak Christians, Christians who have no will of their own, remote-controlled Christians, incapable of creativity, who always seek to connect with the will of someone else and are not free. Jesus wants us free. From the Angelus Address, June 30th, 2013. Reflection. How can you strengthen your prayer life so that you rely more on God and less on the whims of your own ego? If you are sometimes a remote-controlled Christian, ask yourself why. What would happen if you allowed yourself to experience the creativity and freedom for which you were created? June 20th. What is magnanimity? Magnanimity, this virtue of the great and the small, what does being magnanimous mean? It means having a great heart, having greatness of mind. It means having great ideals, the wish to do great things, to respond to what God asks of us. Hence also, for this reason, to do well the routine things of every day and all the daily actions, tasks, meetings with people, doing the little everyday things with a great heart open to God and to others. It is therefore important to cultivate human formation with a view to magnanimity. From an address to the students of the Jesuit schools of Italy and Albania, June 6, 2013. Reflection. Most of us want to be great-hearted and filled with enthusiasm for life, but then reality sets in. If you're in a slump, ask God to help you find your way out. Start by practicing generosity of spirit in the smallest details of your routine today. June 21st, titled, Must Be Free. In our daily prayers, let us say to Jesus, Lord, look at this brother, look at this sister, who is suffering so much, suffering atrociously. They experience the limit, the very limit between life and death, and there are consequences for us. This experience must spur us to promote religious freedom for everyone, everyone. Every man and every woman must be free in his or her profession of religion, whatever it may be. Why? Because that man and that woman are children of God. From an address on the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18, 2013. A reflection. In your daily prayers, pray for those who are not allowed to freely practice their faith. Pray for Christians who are persecuted around the world. And pray for people of all faiths. June 22nd, titled, Small Martyrs. On the Feast of Saints John Fisher and Thomas More. To proclaim the gospel, two virtues are essential. Courage and patience, that is, acceptance of suffering. They, the Christians who are suffering, are in the church of patience. They suffer, and there are more martyrs today than there were in the early centuries of the church. More martyrs, our own brothers and sisters. They are suffering. They carry their faith even to martyrdom. However, martyrdom is never a defeat. Martyrdom is the highest degree of the witness we must give. We are on the way to martyrdom as small martyrs, giving up this, doing that. But we are on the way. From an address on the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18th of 2013. Reflection. What can you learn from the martyrs, especially those of the 21st century? What small martyrdoms can you suffer in your daily life? June 23rd, titled, Waiting for You. We say we must seek God, go to Him and ask forgiveness. But when we go, He is waiting for us. He is there first. In Spanish, we have a word that explains this well. Primero. The Lord always gets there before us. He gets there first. He is waiting for us. From an address on the Vigil of Pentecost with the Ecclesial Movements, May 18, 2013. A reflection. We've all had situations where we know God is waiting for us to do something. He has gone ahead of us and prepared a path and a course of action. Does He want you to reach out to someone? Does He want you to spend more time in prayer? Where is God waiting for you? June 24th, titled, Giving Your Life for the Truth, on the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. One of those who gave his life for the truth is John the Baptist. June 24th is his great feast, the solemnity of his birth. He died for the sake of the truth when he was denounced the adultery of King Herod and Herodias. How many people paid dearly for their commitment to truth? Upright people who are not afraid to go against the current. How many just men prefer to go against the current so as not to deny the voice of conscience, the voice of truth? And we must not be afraid. From the Angelus Address on June 23rd of 2013. Reflection. It is hard to stand up for the truth in our culture today. How can you stand up for truth in your decisions at work and in your family? June 25th, listening to His Word. Another good way to grow in friendship with Christ is by listening to His Word. The Lord speaks to us in the depths of our conscience. He speaks to us through sacred scriptures. He speaks to us in prayer. Learn to stay before Him in silence to read and meditate on the Bible, especially the Gospels, to converse with Him every day in order to feel His presence of love and friendship. From a message on June 21st, 2013. Reflection. We always want to hear Jesus' voice as we move through life, and God has given us His Word in the Bible so that we can hear from Him there. One good place to begin is by reading through the Gospel of John. Use this Gospel as a starting point for conversing with Him. June 26th, titled, Not Chosen for Little Things. Commit yourselves to great ideals, to the most important things. We Christians were not chosen by the Lord for little things. Push onward toward the highest principles. From a homily on the Holy Mass with the Rite of Confirmation, April 28, 2013. Reflection. What principles do you live by? Where is God seeking to push you further? June 27th, titled, A Church with Open Doors. Are we able to communicate the face of a church which is home to all? We sometimes speak of a church that has its doors closed, but here we are contemplating much more than a church with open doors, much more. We must, together, build this home, build this church, make this home. A church with closed doors or open doors. The task is to move forward and help build the church. The challenge is to rediscover through the means of social communication, as well as by personal contact, the beauty that is at the heart of our existence and journey, the beauty of faith and of the beauty of the encounter with Christ. From an address on September 21st, 2013. A reflection. What does it mean to share the beauty and truth of the faith from a church with open doors? How is God calling you to make your local parish more like a home. June 28th, titled, Slumbering Christians. What he asks of us is to be ready for the encounter, ready for an encounter, for a beautiful encounter, the encounter with Jesus, which means being able to see the signs of his presence, keeping our faith alive with prayer, with the sacraments, and taking care not to fall asleep so as to not forget about God. The life of slumbering Christians is a sad life. It is not a happy life. Christians must be happy with the joy of Jesus. Let us not fall asleep. From a presentation to a general audience on April 24th, 2013. Reflection. In what area of your faith, life, have you fallen asleep? How can you be more attentive to what God is trying to show you? June 29th. Titled, Two Glorious Witnesses. On the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Dear brothers and sisters, what a joy to believe in a God who is all love, all grace. This is the faith that Peter and Paul received from Christ and passed on to the church. Let us praise the Lord for these two glorious witnesses, and like them, let us allow ourselves to be won over by Christ, by the mercy of Christ. From the Angelus Address on June 23, 2013. Reflection. Saints Peter and Paul both turned their back on our Lord. Peter denied Jesus three times, and Paul imprisoned and murdered Christians. Yet each encountered the Lord's mercy, asked for forgiveness, and followed after our Lord. Whose life do you identify with more, Saint Peter or Saint Paul? How is God calling you to follow after them as they have followed Jesus? June 30th, titled, Rigid Christians. Rigid Christians think that to be Christian it is necessary to wear mourning and always to take everything seriously. They are very numerous. They are not Christians. They disguise themselves as Christians. They do not know Jesus, do not know who the Lord is, do not know what the rock is. They have none of the freedom of Christians. In their life, there is no room for the Holy Spirit. From a homily on June 27, 2013. Reflection. Do you lack joy? Do you lack freedom? Are you a rigid Christian? Put on the Holy Spirit, and you will find yourself opening up to new opportunities. Not relying on ourselves gives us freedom. Trusting in the Lord gives us joy. This is the end of Side 6. Continuing on Side 7.